one God, creator, redeemer, and sustainer. Amen. Please be seated. You know, I think one of the reasons why Jesus became so popular so quickly, it seems, at least from the reading of the Gospels, is that his message was so clear and his images were so down to earth. You can't get much clearer than salt and light. Yeah? And that is the central image that Jesus opens our gospel with today. This is, of course, the famous Sermon on the Mount, Jesus' first of five major discourses throughout the Gospel of Matthew, as Matthew is set up to image the five books of Torah. So you have five discourses of Jesus throughout the Gospel. Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew is, of course, seen as the new Moses. So in Jesus' message, he begins the Sermon on the Mount, as you all well probably remember, with the famous Beatitudes. Blessed are you, blessed are you, blessed are you. Right? We all remember those. And then he moves from that which is in the third person, okay, into the second person. He moves from blessed are they to you, us, we, you and me. He's speaking now directly to us when he says, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. So what's that all about? Well, I was thinking about all of this as I was trying desperately to put a sermon together for today. Some days it's like that, for those of us who do this business. And I began to think about salt. And salt, somebody told me after the 8 o'clock service, there's a whole book written about salt. I haven't seen it, but I'm sure it's fascinating. Because salt, of course, is one of the essential elements of our world. Right? We don't live without salt. We can't survive without good old sodium chloride. All right? It is in our blood, and without it, we can't survive. Too little of it, and we die. Too much of it, and we die. I mean, some of us are on blood medications, right, which restrict our sodium intakes. Salt was also, of course, in the first century particularly, and in every century up until this 20th century, salt was essential because it was the way you preserve food, the way you preserve meat and fish and poultry so that it could be saved and used later on. Otherwise, it would spoil. In fact, soldiers in the Roman army got paid in terms of their wages in salt. That's where we get the whole image of you're worth your weight in salt. Okay? So all of this is essential. But that's not where I began. I began because salt is a part of any cook's essentials. Right? I mean, I think of myself as a fare to passing cook. And one of the things you know about cooking is that if you put too little salt in something, it tastes yucky. You put too much salt into something, and it also tastes yucky. Right? You get puckered lips, and it just, you want to spit it out. I learned this several months ago, that one of the most important contraband items in any nursing home is salt. Think of it. Have you ever tasted nursing home food? It's awful. Right? Vegetables taste like straw without salt. Right? Potatoes taste like starch without salt. Salt is really very important, but again, you can't overdo it. So this business of salt is really essential. Yeah? We don't live without it. Likewise, there's this image of light. Now, this man right up here is a physicist, and he might be able to tell me, scientifically speaking, what light is. Right? Maybe. Well, is it a wave or is it a... Right? I mean, see, scientists don't know anything. They can't agree. Light. What is light? Well, this morning as I was coming here at O Dark 30, the remnants of the last full moon, which is still out there today and tomorrow, if you didn't see it last night, see it tonight. It's gorgeous. But it was going down in that direction when I was coming here for services this morning, and this beautiful full moon was sitting there, and all of a sudden I was thinking about light anyway, and all of a sudden I realized the moon is able to be seen by me because the light is reflected off of it. Whatever else you think about light, it has no substance except what it reflects. Right? It's the end. Oh, stop, Matt. All you scientists in this place. It's so hard to preach in this place. Engineers and scientists. Again, light allows us to see the world in which we live. It's also true, and I think this is scientific, that there is no such thing as real darkness in the world. That there is always light. There is always energy. And that's what light is energy. Right? And this energy is what allows us to see anything. But again, I took this more personally at this point because I know something else about light, and maybe some of you do too. At this time of the year, light becomes very important to me. I'm one of those people who goes from November until February feeling very down. I have to really struggle. It's called seasonal affective disorder, right? Any of you have it? Any of the rest of you have it? Yeah, I know. It's really miserable, isn't it? Right? Seasonal affective disorder. Sad. How appropriate, right? How appropriate. Sad. And that's exactly what you are if you've got this syndrome, which means basically you get depressed during this time when there is no light. People buy special panels of light to sit in front of so that they affect that disorder. I haven't been smart enough to do that. Point is that I know exactly how it feels not to have light. Feels terrible. So, what am I supposed to make of all of this? First, what is being talked about here in Jesus' words is Jesus is really onto something here. On to something very, very crucial, and that is something essential about who we are. Because elements of salt and light are essential elements in our lives. Without them, we do not survive. Without them, we do not live. So when Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth, you are the light of the world, Jesus is saying something very, very important about who we are and how we were created. It's not about what we do. It's not about anything we learn to do well or we don't do well or we do badly or, you know, that we can judge ourselves by. No, we are light and we are salt. We either make the world a little bit spicier and bring the world a little life, or we don't. Now, all of this is important because, first of all, it means we're not self-made. It means that we are who we are and what we have become because that's the way God made us. The paradox is that our vocation is nothing less than to be that those things in the world. To be for others spice and life. Not too much and not too little. Right? We don't want to blast everybody else with a beam of light that obscures them. We want to be able to illuminate people in our presence. Light them up. We want to bring spice to the world, not to make them pucker up and go away, but rather to give them zest and life and tastiness. These images are so powerful because they're so simple, aren't they? This God who has made us and blessed us has given us the power to be however important we are or however unimportant we are in the world in which we live, exactly the same skills. To be light and to be salt. Whether we are a top flight, successful person in whatever field we've been put in, or whether we are the lowliest person on earth, we are still capable of being light and salt. So God made you to be this way. But what happens? And we all know this is true. What happens when you wake up and you don't feel very salty? What happens when you feel pretty bland and washed out? Or when you just don't feel like light? When you feel pretty dark and shut down and unavailable? Maybe life has given you some bumps. Maybe you've suffered. Maybe you've lost something. Maybe you're grieving about something. And the world feels dull and dead and lifeless. A couple of things about that. They're not solutions. But I would point you to a couple of things. One of them is that the light never goes out. The light never goes out. There is always light. The second thing is, there's always salt. Even when you're not feeling very salty, even when you're feeling pretty diluted and dissolved, there's still salt. Because that's the way we're made. The other piece is, when you're not feeling very salty or very much light-like, here's a community of light and salt. Right here. This is who we are for each other. This is what we're called to be with each other. This is what we're called to give to each other and share with each other. To give of ourselves in a way that feeds the world and gives it life. It's what Jesus did that terminated in the resurrection. New life. Jesus gave of himself until God restored him to life. Because that's what God is about, is life. Finally, you guys listened this morning as Ellen did that wonderful reading, which she did really well, from Isaiah, which has Isaiah really shaking his fingers at the people of Israel and saying, look, you guys, you want to fast and you want to pray and you want to do all these religious things. I don't care, God says. Here's what you're supposed to be doing. Do this. Do these things. What is he says?
Eat
the who?
Eat the corn.
Yes. Yes. These are the things that I choose: to loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to clothe them, and not to hide yourself from your kin? Then your light will dawn. Wow. There it is, light. When you do those things, your light shines. That's what doing the law means. And that's what Jesus means at the end of the passage that we're reading this morning, when he says, not one jottle, not one tittle of jot will be left off the law until it's all fulfilled. Well, the fulfillment of the law is doing it, is being it. And Jesus says, look, I'm fulfilling it because I'm being it. That's what Jesus is talking about here. So this business of law and grace are not separated. It's not whether you do this, this, and this, and this, and you're going to get yourself brownie points in the great book. It's whether you're being who you are. Simple as that. Some of us call that grace. That's what grace is. That's what it means to be gracious, to be light and salt in the world we've been given. And the power of that, and the power of this community to embody that and to live that out with each other, day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, that is who we're called to be. We're about to start our program out in the parking lot, Safe Park. We're asking you for volunteers. Come and be with people at night. And some of you, I suspect, are a little bit reticent. Who are these people? Well, they're us. They're us. And I would urge all of you to sign up and meet those folks week after week, just to sit and talk and listen. Because they're us. They're wonderful, just like us people. And that is what we're doing to be light in this community. That's one of the things. Every time you bring a can of food and put it in that basket in the back, which, by the way, some of you have forgotten to do for a while. Get at it. Right? Bring a thing of food. Because you're being light. That's a way of being light in the world. Yeah? It's not that you're going to get any brownie points for bringing a
your life. Light it up. Make it brighter. Go out and lighten this dark world of ours with your love.